Everybody, thank you. It goes without saying that it's been a very difficult week. But it was not a week void of hope, amen. And before I get started on something that I really feel like is timely and be very helpful for us as we move forward, I just want to take a moment and thank every single person for your ministry last week. I really saw the hands and feet of Jesus through our church this week. It was an honor to serve alongside of you during a very, very dark time. And so thank you. If you haven't already, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Most of us believe in prayer, right? Yeah, we believe in it. We believe in prayer. We know what it is. We talk about prayer. We talk about praying. We say, we'll pray for you. But let's get real for just a minute. How many of us can say with confidence that we pray like we should? And a second question to follow that up, because it's not to become downtrodden, that's not the purpose of this, but how many of us truly understand why we should pray at all? In seminary, I'll never forget the day. I don't remember a lot of the days in seminary. I've tried to bury that in my memory. But I remember one day that we talked about praying. And that was the sole subject of the class that day. And I remember the teacher gave us a tool that we could easily teach somebody who doesn't know how to pray, if they had no idea. And he said, you know, you can use your hand. And one way to think about it is your thumb is kind of the strongest, thickest finger that you have. And start your prayer by, you know, praising God. Just saying, God, you are God. You are holy. And the second one, your index finger, it's kind of easy to point that up and just remember that all good things come from God and be thankful. Thank God for all the things that He's given you. The third finger obviously has many connotations, even in our society, and it's kind of related. The third finger is remembrance of our sinfulness and that we have fallen short, and we can ask God, you know, God, please forgive me of all my sins, something I do every single day, and I'd encourage you to do the same thing. And the fourth finger, which usually, you know, if you're married, it bears the ring, and that's for your family. Thank God for your family. Pray over your family. Ask God to be with your family. And then your pinky finger is the littlest, the least of all the fingers, and let that be yourself. Let that be your request to God, asking Him for the things that you need. And I thought that was a nice tool, that you could easily work through that if you, you know, kind of didn't know a lot about praying. But what I didn't have that day is, why in the world are we praying? Like, I understand the specific things, but really, what is prayer? What am I doing in this moment? And I believe that I'm not the only person who has ever wondered that. And today, I hope that we can get a little bit closer to understanding, really, why are we to pray? What is the purpose behind it? In Matthew 7:7-11, Jesus gives us some simple instructions and leads us to a profound truth that, I'm going to be honest with you, before I've studied this, I've never really considered it. Now, that may be a stain on me. You're like, wow, you're the only one that has never considered this. But I venture to say that if this was new to me, it's going to be new to some of you guys, but it's been very helpful as well. The truth is, prayer isn't about convincing God to give us what we want. Did you hear what I said? It's not about talking Him in to doing the things that you want Him to do. That's not what prayer is about. It's about admitting our need for His wisdom, His power, and His provision. I titled this, The Real Reasons We Don't Pray and What to Do About It. Let's start out and work through verses 7 through 11, and then I'm going to give you those five reasons. Before we can fix what's broken in our prayer life, we've got to see what Jesus actually said about our prayer life. Look at verse 7. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened." We see three key verbs here: ask, seek, and knock. Asking, that's communication. That's verbalizing things to God. It's admitting that you need something that you can't provide for yourself. You ever thought about that? That's when we ask for something. We can't provide it. So Jesus tells us, ask. Secondly, seek. That's pursuing. That's going after something. Seeking implies that whatever it is cannot be found without the help of somebody else. And then lastly, knock. Knocking also carries the connotation of perseverance. Knocking implies that there's a door before us that is closed right now. And y'all have all done this. We do this all the time. If you come to my house, you're going to find the door locked. And what are you going to have to do? If you want me to come to the door, you have to knock. Or hit the ring. Don't know. That takes us out of the thing. But you knock on the door, and I'm going to come down to the door and let you in. But you're knocking. Why? Because it's locked, and you can't get in it. And that's what Jesus said. Knock. Charles Spurgeon said, it would be of no use to knock at a wall. I thought that was a good visual. But you may wisely knock at a door, because a door is created to be opened. In other words, Jesus is saying, keep knocking, because you're not knocking on a wall. You're knocking on the Father's door, who has the power to open it. Verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Before I say another word, I am not going to start preaching the prosperity gospel here. This verse can be taken way out of context. But did you notice something? Every result in that verse, receiving, finding, having a door open to you, is an unearned gift. It's the grace of God, the goodness of God, every single one of them. He's not describing human achievement. He's describing divine generosity. If you belong to Christ, God is your Father. You are His child, and prayer is simply coming to Him with your requests. But do we think about it like that? The trouble with this for many of us is that it seems too simple. You mean to tell me that I just bow my head and talk to God in prayer like I'm talking to somebody else? Yeah. I talk to God like He's my best friend. I talk to Jesus like He's sitting right there beside me. I don't have a big to-do and a big, you know, it's not some big formal thing. I just start praying and start talking to Him because I believe He's there and I believe He hears me and I believe He wants to hear from me. The power of prayer isn't found in how we pray or our methods. It's found in who we're praying to. Amen. Verse 9, or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? I love the way Jesus teaches. I can understand this. Can y'all understand this? It's pretty simple. You don't have to have a theology degree to understand what Jesus is teaching right here. Jesus paints a simple picture. No good father substitutes a harmful thing for a helpful thing. And if that's true of this man right here, I'm not going to knowingly, willingly give any of my daughters something that I know is going to destroy them. And if, as broken and as sinful and constantly shortcoming as I am, if that's true of me, what about God? If I'm striving to be successful here, what do you think God's going to do? He's going to be successful. This is His heart. He doesn't have all the shortcomings that I have. He knows what will nourish us, and He knows what will poison us. When God withholds something, it's never punishment for us praying wrong. I didn't say the right words, or I must have got this before this, or I didn't have the code, left, right, up, down, A, B, A, B, start, Nintendo people. Y'all don't even know about that. It's protecting us from something that isn't right. I don't know about you, but I've looked at a lot of things that I didn't think were snakes, and guess what they were? Snakes. And I'm thankful that God does not answer those prayers. Verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Jesus doesn't deny that flawed people can still do good things. We see it all the time in society, in the world around us. We see it in our own lives. Even broken parents know how to bless their kids. But then he gives us a contrast here. How much more? How exceedingly will God do? Even the best parents have limits, but guess who doesn't? God. God loves us at a depth that we cannot fathom. And that's something that I think if we're really going to get into prayer, that's something we got to understand. We got to understand that God loves us beyond anything that we can ever imagine. Because everybody in here loves somebody, guaranteed. And you think about how much you love that person, and that pales in comparison to how much God loves us. Isaiah 49:15 gives a little insight into that. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Even a mother who loves her child dearly, and if you've ever seen a mother, look at her newborn child, you see love. There's no words that need to be said. And God's saying right there in that moment that they could even still fail, but I will not. And that's a great hope to me and the God that we serve. That's who we're talking to when we pray. A Father who never forgets, never withholds what's truly good, and never closes his door to his children. Now that we understand what Jesus taught about prayer, let's look at five reasons we often do not pray like we should. Number one, we doubt that prayer really changes anything. We doubt that prayer changes anything. If we're honest, a lot of us believe prayer is good in theory, but sometimes weak in reality. We think, God's going to do what he's going to do anyway. So why am I going to pray? So why pray if it doesn't seem to make a difference? Jesus didn't command us to pray because he needed to be reminded of our needs. God is well aware of our needs. He commanded us to pray because it's how we show our faith in him. When I'm praying to God, I'm praying because I believe in him. And my faith is exemplified in the moments that I pray. Do you see what I'm saying? James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. That's assuming there's a sickness, and he's commanded us to pray so that other people will be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. This is showing that action is involved around our praying. It's not just an act of something that we just do and not expect anything to happen. This week, take one specific request that you have, one specific request, something that matters to you significantly, and bring it before God every day. The next 7 days, take one thing and pray about it every single day, and allow that time to show you your faith in him, because you're putting faith that he's going to do it. That's why you're talking to him about it. Don't measure the results. Measure your faithfulness to pray. You know, we want God to do, or just answer me right now. But how much are we looking at? How often are we praying? How committed are we to praying? We want God to be committed to our request, but are we committed to him? Are we willing to pray more than once? Are we willing to give him more than 30 seconds? Let your persistence be proof that you believe that prayer really matters. The second reason, we don't feel worthy to approach God. And now that's not all bad. I'm big on fearing God. I'm big on reverence towards God. But this is a little different. We don't feel worthy to approach God. Some of us stay silent because we feel guilty or unworthy. We think, Why should God listen to someone like me? Anybody ever wondered that? I have. I think about it all the time. I think about, and here's something I'm going to infect you with a thought. I don't think I've ever said this, and if I have, you probably need to hear it again anyway. Have you thought about, you know, you're doing really good with God? You know, you're following Him, you're following Jesus, everything's going really good. I mean, you're kind of feeling good about your walk. And God answers a prayer for you, and He blesses you with that answering that prayer. And then the next day, the next minute, the next hour, you have absolutely fallen on your face. Anybody ever been there? Do you realize that God answered that prayer knowing that that was coming? You didn't surprise Him with your failure. We're not worthy of any blessing that we get. God knows our failures and still answers our prayers anyway because He loves us so much. Have you ever stopped praying because you thought you'd let God down too many times? Jesus taught us to begin our prayer with two words, "Our Father." That's not a title of distance. That's a title of closeness. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach the throne of God with grace and confidence." Confidence is not doubting that we can approach our Father. Prayer isn't a performance to earn God's approval. It's a reminder that you already have His love. When you pray this week, start by saying, "Father, thank you for hearing me." Let gratitude replace any guilt that you've been carrying into your prayer closet. Pray like a child who knows their father loves them, not like a criminal hoping for mercy. I struggled a lot towards the end of my high school time with following Jesus. I mean, that's just honest. You can ask anybody, they'll tell you it's true. And I disappointed my mom and dad a lot. A lot more than they ever deserved. And I can remember in my struggle thinking, I wonder how many failures that I can commit before they just give up on me. Anybody ever get there? That's a broken mindset. And it's the same one that we carry into God. My mom and dad loved me unconditionally because I was their child. They knew that I was falling short. They knew that I was struggling. But they never stopped loving me no matter what that I did. And if my mom and dad can do that, guess who is more than capable of loving us through that? Don't worry about your worthiness. Just come broken. God knows. Ask for forgiveness and approach Him. That's what I would tell you to do there. Number three, third reason, we quit when we don't see results. We live in an instant world, don't we? If there is ever a microwave generation, it's us. We want it before we ask for it. Amen? Fast food, fast delivery. Fast everything. I ordered something from Amazon this week and they said I wouldn't have it till Tuesday. And I said, that ain't 2 days. Because I ordered it on Friday. I was thinking, that thing's supposed to be here Sunday. Y'all say in 2 days. That's where we've gotten to. We expect everything to just happen as soon as we ask for it. So when the answers don't come fast to our prayer closet, we assume what? Well, God's not listening. The line's broken. I must be doing something wrong. How many times have you given up praying for someone because you did not get an answer that day? Luke 18:1 says, they should pray at all times and not lose heart. Persistent prayer doesn't overcome God's reluctance. It honors His timing. It deepens our dependence on Him and our patience. Paul prayed multiple times and the answer was not to grant his request. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times. Well, I prayed three times, God. What have I got to do? 5, 10, 12, what's it going to be? I got to pray more than once. Paul prayed three times. That it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Paul learned that God was proven strong when Paul was proven weak. Paul learned the true will of God through persistent prayer. God answered his prayer. Do you know what the answer was? It's a short word, two letters. No. Sometimes that's the answer we need. I tell my kids no all the time. And they never think that's the right answer. But sometimes the answer is no. And that's the best answer. That's the piece of bread. That's not the snake. Sometimes when we pray to God, the answer needs to be no. And we need to be in a place where we can say, thank you for the no. Write down one thing you've stopped praying for. Or think about it. What's one thing you've stopped praying for because it's not answered? I'm serious. Like, you didn't get a yes or a no. Like, God has just been, I'm waiting on this. And take that thing you've been called to pray for, you're praying for, and start again today. Maybe during the service right now. Maybe at the end of the service. And start praying about it again. Don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop knocking until God answers your prayer, yes or no. The fourth reason we don't pray is we don't know what to say. For some, the reason we don't pray is simple. We don't know what to say. We get tongue-tied, or maybe we're afraid that I'll say it wrong. Well, I need to get my sentence right. I need to get this exactly right before I pray. Have you ever started to pray, paused mid-sentence, and thought, man, I sound ridiculous. I cannot believe I'm praying this. Y'all are good. Man, I'm proud of y'all. I come up with these questions because these are things I struggle with. Romans 8:26, so here's the hope. If that's you, I know it's not, I'm the only one. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. Amen. For we do not know how to pray as we should. We're in good company. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us right now. God is not grading your vocabulary like your English teacher with a red pen waiting to just strike out everything that you say that's wrong. He's listening to your heart. You see, that's what God can see that I can't. Prayer isn't perfection, it's practice. You know what's, when I was in the medical field, I told Bethany last night I'm not a nurse anymore. She told me I still was. But anyway, the one thing that I thought was odd about doctors, do you know what they call what they do every day? What does that mean? I thought, man, by this time, you need to be calling it something else because you've been spending a long time doing this. I don't need nobody to practice on me. I need you to do the right thing here. What they're saying, they keep doing it. Active every day. And that's what our prayer life needs to be. We need to practice it. We need to be active in it and do it every single day. Remember, Jesus said, ask, seek, knock, not impress, impress, impress. If you don't know what to say, here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you haven't been praying because you're like, look, I'm glad you said that because I haven't been praying to God because I literally don't know what to say. Like, I don't even have the words. I don't know how to start. I didn't even know the five-finger thing that you told me in the beginning. Start praying Scripture. There's something you can do. Open God's Word and start praying it. Use the Psalms or even the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. At the bare minimum, Jesus gave you a verbatim prayer that was approved. Like, He gave you the one that was checked, had the green check mark. If you don't know what to pray, you can go back into Matthew and pray exactly the Lord's Prayer that He gave us. But let God's words guide your words, and trust at the end of the day, even in the most Hayden, Alabama, Blount County English that you can speak, speak it. I believe that God can understand us. All the y'alls and everything else, I think He's got it. It's clear. Last one. I don't know that I saved the best for last, but I think everybody's going to resonate with this one. We're distracted. The fifth problem, we're distracted. For some people, prayerlessness isn't disbelief. It's distraction. Life gets loud, and we quietly start retracting and start living like, I don't really need God. I got today. God, you can take off today. Philip is in control. I got it right here. That should never be anything that I think. If we're too busy to pray, here's what I want to ask you. If you feel like, if you're like, man, you just don't know what all I do in a day. You don't know what the morning looks like, and then once I get to work, and then when I get home, and then after home, and then I fall literally into my bed every single day. If that's you, I want to ask you, who's running your life? Or is your life running you? I can't stand that word busy. Man, it bothers me. And I know we like to say it as conversational. It doesn't mean necessarily anything bad. John 15:5 says, I am the vine. This is Jesus. I am the vine. You're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Let's say it together. One, two, three. So where should that take us? If Jesus says, you can do nothing without me, should the natural response be, well, good, I got it. I'm never going to talk to you. I'm never going to ask you for anything, and I'm just going to run this thing every day. That sounds like a plan for disaster. But I don't know why we don't live like that and think like that, because if we were thinking like this, if this was what was on my heart every morning, guess how it would start? With Him. Isn't that the natural thing? If we knew that we were not going to accomplish anything good, anything for the glory of God, if we didn't get with God first and say, hey, God, look, like I need your help today. I'm going to need you in a big way. Guide my steps. Lead me. That's where we would start, right? This week, here's what I want to ask you to do. And not just this week, but I mean minimum, or at least Monday morning. If you could at least give me Monday morning, I want to ask you to do something. If you're not doing it already, give God the first 5 minutes of your day. Is it worth it? Can you do that? I'm serious. I try to do this every day. I'm not successful 365 days a year. But tomorrow morning, if you don't hear anything else, I want to encourage you to do one thing tomorrow morning. When you wake up and get out of that bed, do not grab your cell phone. I mean, you may have to turn the alarm off. I mean, I get that. My alarm's on my cell phone, so you may have to do that. But just take that 5 minutes immediately following that and just talk to God. Just pray. If nothing else, say, God, yesterday morning when I was in the Sunday service, Philip said that he'd really like for me to pray to you for 5 minutes. And so I'm doing that. I'm talking to you, and I'm here. And I don't really know what else to say, but I'm like, please, would you just help me today? I want to live for you. I want to abide in you. Would you help me today? Would you just help me to do the best that I can today for you? Hey, I think he'd hear it. I think he'd be honored by it. It seems like a simple thing, but I think it'll help you. Before the phone, before the coffee, before the to-do list, pause and pray. Ask him to order your steps before the world orders your steps for you. I know none of y'all have ever had good ambitions to pray and read your Bible, but you thought, you know what, I just need to do this one thing first. How many times have you never got to the praying in the Bible because of that? Because the world is sure enough to fill your schedule up for you, just one thing right after the next. It's happy, and they won't even be bad things. But they're enough to keep you between you and God. So those are the real reasons we don't pray. Doubt, guilt, impatience, insecurity, distraction. Each one pulls us away from our dependence on God. But before we leave today, let's go back to what Jesus really meant when he said, ask, seek, and knock. Because there's one truth. I told you there was something profound, something that really meant something to me that I wanted to give you today. If we stopped right here, we would just have a list of things to fix and little things we could do next week. We'd pray more often. We'd pray more honestly. We'd pray more persistently. But Jesus isn't just giving us instructions about how to pray. He's giving us insight into why we should pray. And here it is. Prayer is about dependence. I've always looked at prayer as I need X, I need Y, I need Z. Matthew needs A, Mr. Steve needs B, Andrew needs C. And God, if you could just do all those things, you know, we'd all be right where we need to be. But instead, what I have thought about with this, instead of all those little requests, it's more about me admitting that Philip can't do X, Philip can't do Y, Philip can't do Z, Philip really can't help Matthew, Philip is pretty, he's pitiful to help Steve, he can't help Steve with what he's got going on. Andrew, Lord, we need a lot of people to help Andrew. Amen. But do you see what happens there? When I pray, I'm saying, I believe in you, God. I believe that you hear me. I believe that you love me. And I believe that you want to take care of me. And I am not at the helm of this ship. You are. And I'm coming to you, and I'm laying this down, and I'm just putting it out there. It's about you. It's not about me. But do you think about prayer like that? Do you think about it as a evidence of your faith and admission of your shortcomings and weaknesses? Since I thought about that, I'm a lot more apt to pray because I know all my shortcomings. And I hope that'll help you today. If you've never thought about that, you've probably all thought about that, and I'm probably the last one of the party. How would you grade your dependence on God today if we graded it upon how many times you prayed a day, a week, a year? Now that kind of makes it real. How dependent are you? And if it was graded by frequency, would you be A-plus student, 36 on your ACT? Or would you be repeating the grade next year? We need to all strive for this, full dependence upon God. When you ask, you're admitting, God, I don't have what I need. When you seek, you're admitting, God, I can't find it on my own. When you knock, you're admitting, God, the door is closed and will remain closed unless you open it. Every time we pray, we confess our dependence upon Him. If prayer is dependence, then guess what prayerlessness is? This may be strong, but I think it's pride. God, I got it. Don't need you today. It's never where I want to be. When we refuse to pray, we're saying, I got this, Lord. But when we're praying, we're saying, I need you, Lord. And that's where I want to be. I think that's the prayers God hears and honors and is glorified by. Andrew and the team, y'all can come on up. As we get ready to sing our last song and have a time of response, maybe it's been days, maybe it's been weeks, maybe it's been years since you've really prayed. And that's fine. Nobody's mad at you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset or even surprised. Maybe your prayers have been mechanical or half-hearted or just polite. Let's get back to praying, if that's you. But there's one other group that I want to talk to this morning. I want to talk to you if you've never prayed at all. You didn't know you needed to pray. You didn't know about Jesus. And you've never prayed. So what does that tell me is if you've never prayed, then you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And today, you could pray for the first time, and that would be a great first prayer. To pray, confess to God that you believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, to confess your sins, to ask for forgiveness, and ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit so that you could live for Him. I would encourage you today, if you've never prayed before, and the Holy Spirit has made Himself real to you today, and allowed you to know that these things are true, I encourage you to pray today for the first time and ask for Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Amen. Whatever the case, I don't think God's closed the door. I think He's still saying, ask, seek, and knock. And He's waiting for you to either depend on Him again or depend on Him for the first time. If you would, please stand.